versus Rodriguez, Mr. Lieberman.
Good morning, Your Honors. I'm Michael Lieberman with Federal Defender Services in Madison, Wisconsin. I appear before you this morning on behalf of Mr. Rodriguez, as I did in the district court. The issue, or at least the main issue that I would like to focus on, unless the court has questions on other issues, is the venue issue.
I find that odd, because what the statute says is any alien who's who, having been deported, etc., enters, attempts to enter, or is at any time found in the United States, doesn't that mean that any place, any state that he's in, any district that he's in, maybe he wanders around the United States and he's in all 96 different federal districts, committing this crime in every single different district that he steps into?
Your Honor, assuming one additional fact into the court's question, which is that he wanders into all 96 districts of his own accord, absolutely.
The question that could be rephrased as saying, is this a continuing offense? I hear your answer as saying, yes, it's a continuing offense. If it's a continuing offense, then what difference can it make where the first district he was found or should have been found is?
Your Honor, I'm not aware that this circuit has yet ruled on the continuing offense issue.
But
the Rivera-Ventura
case... If it is a continuing offense, as it certainly sounds like, then I don't see what difference it could make. I mean, your argument is that had he actually been found in Texas, he would have had to be prosecuted there. But if it's a continuing offense, had he actually been found in Texas, he wouldn't have had to be prosecuted there. He could be prosecuted anywhere he was found later.
Your Honor,
that would make it unnecessary to decide whether he should have been found in Texas.
And I respectfully disagree with that. Our argument is that this is a continuing offense up until the moment that the offense is complete. And the Rivera-Ventura case...
Well, the offense is complete when he's, swims across the Rio Grande, right?
He's gone.
Your Honor, with all respect, the case law on the subject says that the offense is complete. That's what this court said in Herrera-Ordonez. It's complete when he's found. So the question that this court has decide now is when is he found.
That's very strange. I mean, when you usually say when is any time found in means located in, not he is found by some official. That's a very strained reading. Maybe there's legislative history or something that supports that.
Well, it's the reading that this court gave in Herrera-Ordonez.
What was it based on?
That in that case, and the difference in facts between this case and Herrera-Ordonez points out, in our position, why Rodriguez should not have been prosecuted here.
What if I said that a cougar had been found in Berrien County, Michigan? Would that mean he had been found by, a member of the Fish and Wildlife Service or some other official who takes charge of animals? Wouldn't that be weird?
Well, and our position, Your Honor, is that is weird. And under that definition...
Well, good. We agree, then. Found in just means you're there.
We shouldn't do weird things.
Right. So let me help you out a little bit. It sounds to me like your argument is that you should be held to be found wherever you're found unless the government picks you up in state number one and itself transports you to state number two, where, yes, true, literally, he was later on found in Wisconsin, but through no volition of his own, he was in custody at that point and was being sent to Wisconsin for that reason. And so I think your argument would have to suggest to us why it is that the involuntary nature of his location should make a difference.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that's where the facts of this case go directly to.
The facts of this case don't answer the legal question. The question my colleague is asking is whether there is a federal rule against manufacturing venue.
Right.
Is there such a rule?
There is not, and I don't believe that we're arguing
manufactured
venue. And
in fact, I believe we have
venue.
Expressly held that there is not a rule against manufactured venue.
And that's
venue.
Why we are not arguing manufactured venue.
But then I don't understand what the problem is. If there's no rule against manufacturing venue, why would the fact that the government, here it was the state government rather than the federal government, maneuvered him to be in Wisconsin matter, as long as he was, in fact, there?
Because Alberto Rodriguez, unlike every other defendant in every one of the cases cited by either side, did not hide his identity, did not try to dissuade anybody.
That may be fine, but look, I'm asking this against the background of a legal rule. Right? You agree that this is a continuing offense and there's no legal rule against manufacturing venue.
I don't agree that it's a continuing offense.
I thought you had agreed that it was a continuing
offense. It continues until it's complete, and what the case law says is it's complete when he's found. That's what Rivera-Ventura, which we cite in our brief at page 11.
What sense does that make? Again, going back to Judge
Wood's
question.
You agreed it's a weird usage of found.
He wasn't dragged to Wisconsin because that's where they like to prosecute illegal immigrants.
He was dragged to Wisconsin, Your Honor.
Well, but the difference,
he was extradited from Texas.
He was extradited on a misdemeanor warrant, which the police only knew about by looking at the exact same piece of paper that told them that he was an illegal reentrant.
But isn't Wisconsin where he lived?
No, he lived in Mexico. He went to Texas to work.
No, before he was deported from the
United States. In 1990. Correct.
Right. Which is and why actually, there was a warrant for him.
Right. That's why I thought that might have. I mean, to me, one could turn that around because yes, they find him in Texas, but his affiliation with Wisconsin is not random in any sense. You know, he had actually an outstanding obligation to report back to Wisconsin, which he was ignoring, and so in that sense. The government was entirely within its right, the state or any level of government you want, to say we're going to make sure you live up to that obligation.
And we do not quarrel with the decision to make him stand justice in Wisconsin.
No, but that puts him in Wisconsin, found in Wisconsin, if you will, for some completely legitimate reason. You know, he had a pre-existing obligation to be there. They put him there. And now they say, okay, now we're going to, while we're at it, you know, we're going to try you for this other offense, too.
I think at that point, Your Honor, the only real question is it more reasonable to expect the government to then take him back to Texas, where, as an aside, that's where he is now. He's actually serving his sentence in Texas, so he wound up back in Texas. Is it more reasonable for the government to then take him back and prosecute him where he intended to commit his crime? That's where he intended to commit the crime, was in Texas. He never intended to come back to Wisconsin.
He was through with Wisconsin, huh?
There's something somewhat circular to say.
He intended to commit the further crime of flight from prosecution, is what you're saying.
Because
he had a legal obligation to be in Wisconsin. He intended to commit the crime of escaping from that obligation.
I disagree, Your Honor. He had an obligation to register in Wisconsin for not registering as a sex offender. He was not allowed back in Wisconsin because he wasn't allowed in the United States.
But you're conceding, are you, that if he just... I misunderstood the facts, but that if he had just voluntarily gone, well, forget Wisconsin, gone from Texas to Oklahoma... Maybe they released him. They made a mistake or something. Had their paperwork, you know, previous cases. And suppose that he's caught in Texas, but ICE releases him by mistake. He goes to Oklahoma. Could he be prosecuted in Oklahoma?
If he voluntarily went there?
No, not the ifs. I gave you the facts.
I wanted to make sure I understood. Yes. Under those facts, I believe he could.
Okay.
Under these facts, where from the moment he...
So it is a continuing offense. You're just objecting to the fact that he was coerced to go to Wisconsin.
Your Honor, I would phrase it as saying it's under the facts of Your Honor's hypothetical, the first offense was over and he then completed a second offense by going to Oklahoma and then being found in Oklahoma. Under our facts, he committed one offense. He committed it in Texas. It was complete when he was in Texas. Under the government's argument, if the car that he was being transported in from Texas here stopped in Kansas, I suppose he could have been prosecuted in Kansas as well it just doesn't make sense.
Well, it wouldn't have to stop.
Or that's
just
correct.
Have to go through Kansas.
Correct. Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Lieberman. Ms. Duschenman, sorry.
Good morning. May it please the Court. Meredith Duschenman appears on behalf of the United States, the appellee in this case. This case is a little strange. It kind of flies in the face of common sense that there could be a venue issue or even a statute of limitations issue in some cases with regard to illegal reentry. But actually,
so it is your position, in fact, that if somebody just sat in a car that got on Interstate 35 and just started driving north from Texas, that after the fact, the government could just kind of sit back and decide which state to indict in?
My understanding of the case law in this circuit is that found in the statute isn't found in the common sense of the word. In other words, you know,
well,
where
but
did...
In my case, I-35, I think, winds up in Minnesota. It doesn't go this far east, but... If you just started in Laredo, where it begins, and drove all the way up to the border between Minnesota and Canada, the government could just decide which district would we like to indict him in.
It would depend on which district immigration authorities...
I've hypothesized you've driven through all of them, so he's been found in all of them. And you know he's been found in all of them because he's been in government custody the whole time.
Oh, I'm sorry. He's been in government
custody.
Yeah,
you arrest him in Texas in Laredo, and you just start driving north on I-35.
The question would be then, who's the you? If the question is some Texas police officer, as it was in this case, apprehended the defendant, started driving him around, and waited till he got to Wisconsin to contact federal immigration authorities, he's found in the state of Wisconsin.
But he hasn't been found in any of the other states? He wasn't found in Oklahoma?
No.
Why do you adopt that strange interpretation?
Well,
of the statute?
I respectfully submit that I agree with the defendant.
Why? What sense does it make?
Well, it is strange, given that it is a continuing offense. But
yes, it is strange.
Yes.
So what's
my understanding of Herrera or Dennis...
Well, counsel, you're now saying that he could not be prosecuted in Texas because the person who apprehended him in Texas was a state official rather than a federal official, and even though a large number of human beings saw him in Texas and he cheerfully concedes he was in Texas, he can't be prosecuted in Texas because no federal official laid eyes on him there. And that... doesn't seem to make any sense at all.
I agree with you. It doesn't make common
sense. So why are you arguing for a position that you concede makes no sense?
Well, because I do believe that's what the majority of case law holds,
a supine response, right?
Look, you represent the United States. The United States presumably has a position in this case,
yes,
which is independent of stray language and ill-considered opinions. I just wondered what that position is.
I believe that the definition of found set forth in the statute for venue for illegal reentry has a specific definition as set forth by the case law, which
you
means
move back and forth. First you say it's strange, it's weird, then you say it's supported by a majority of the case law. Now you just suggest you've been convinced by the cases. Have you been convinced by the cases or just bowed to them because
the Department of Justice always agrees with whatever any
right.
Court of Appeals says? That can't be right.
Well, my understanding is that an alien is found for purposes of illegal reentry.
Just think about it. Does it make any sense? Look, what a lawyer ought to do, especially a government lawyer, is you should ask yourself, this language which people are throwing around as a legal standard and so on, does this make any sense? If it makes no sense, you might say, well, look, all the courts of appeals have agreed, all the experts and so on, the Sentencing Commission, everybody agrees, so I have to bow. But if it turns out, as Judge Easterbrook was suggesting, it's just something that's been said in a few cases, never really examined, doesn't make any sense, why does the Justice Department feel constrained to... with it. Doesn't make any sense.
Well, I do think there are some issues with regard...
Can you make one argument for why this found by the federal officer should be, why you know, by a federal officer who knows he's an illegal alien should be grafted onto the statute.
Other than that, that is what the majority of cases, right. In fact, every single court of appeals who's
dealt
with the issue has said
that. So you have no reason for that. And do these courts give a reason for their conclusion?
No, not really.
Has
so
this
in other
issue
words,
ever been litigated in a focused way?
Well,
or are
I mean,
we just looking at ill-considered language that was not important to the disposition?
No, I don't think so. I mean, in all of the cases that the government cited, that was the key issue.
There was actually some case to draw the parallel where somebody is nabbed by a state official holding that he cannot be prosecuted in that state because he was nabbed by a state official rather than a federal official.
Well, the issue, Your Honor...
There's no holding to that effect, I'm quite sure.
Your Honor, the issue always arises in the opposite situation where the person is then transferred to a different venue and argues that he shouldn't be prosecuted there because he was actually found for purposes of the statute in the original district.
And the government wins all of those cases holding that he can be prosecuted in this second
Correct.
Place. Which leads me to the question, why are you therefore saying he can't be prosecuted in the first place where he's seen or found or anything else? There aren't any holdings to that effect. And reading the statute in this way produces this considerable weirdness and simultaneously crimps the ability to prosecute somebody in the most natural venue, which here is where you wrongly enter.
Your Honor, I apologize. What I want to do is obviously, if the defendant is found in Texas, and obviously if the United States Attorney's Office is prosecuting him in Texas, that means that the federal immigration authorities would have had to have been notified in that situation found
look,
in Texas.
Look, counsel, it does not. It's perfectly easy to find a man in a Wisconsin prison.
Correct.
You recognize that he was nabbed in Texas and extradited to Wisconsin. You notify the U.S. Attorney in Laredo. And he is then indicted in Texas. That's a perfectly easy thing for the U.S. Department of Justice to do. It doesn't require any showing that he was originally noticed by a federal official in Texas.
Well, we would have to prove he was previously deported by immigration authorities.
You have to prove that in order to prosecute him in Wisconsin.
Right. So I guess going back to your original question, could he be prosecuted in Texas by the United States Attorney's Office? The answer to that would be yes, because technically he would have been found there because of immigration. So I was mistaken when I originally said...
Not in the hypothetical I gave. Hypothetical I gave is this case, right? He's not found by immigration officials in Texas. He is nabbed by the state police,
correct.
Extradited by state officials to Wisconsin.
Correct.
And while he is in prison in Wisconsin on his Wisconsin warrant,
right.
He is then indicted in Texas. Now, that seems to me a perfectly straightforward thing one could do under the statute, but you've said several times that you think that can't be done.
Under the exact facts that you just gave, I don't think that's correct.
Right, and that's the puzzle.
You know, I guess I apologize. I'm a little bit at a loss because I'm reading this court's opinion
without thinking.
If the court
it's one reason why people generally distinguish between dicta and holdings. There's certainly no holding that you can't prosecute a man like this in Texas.
Well, I guess I really didn't give a whole lot of consideration to whether or not we could prosecute him in Texas because the issue is whether or not venue was proper here. If the court is inclined at all to revisit its opinion or wishes the government to clarify its position in a more departmental sort of way, I can certainly do that and supplement it to the court. My argument here was based on my understanding of this court's opinion on what found is for the purposes of illegal reentry venue.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Duchelman. Mr. Lieberman, how much time does he have? 1 minute? Okay. So look, Mr. Lieberman, it's one thing. If suppose the immigration authorities catch this fellow in Texas and recognize him as an illegal returnee, and they say, now we're going to take you to West Virginia, because in West Virginia they really hate immigrants. And the judges, they, you know, they give the most savage sentences. And so that's where we're going to take you. Now that would be an abuse, right? But here he didn't go voluntarily to Wisconsin, but he's removed there for reasons that have nothing to do with trying to manipulate to make a person commit a crime in another state by dragging him there so you can prosecute him more easily. So why should there be any problem with prosecuting him there?
Your Honor, if I can, and I think this responds to Judge Easterbrook's question to the government as well. The difference between this case and every other case, which I think points to why the federal official language is in the other case. In every other case, the illegal reentrant took great lengths to hide
to
their
what?
Identity.
So what? What difference does it make?
It makes a difference in fairness, Your Honor. Mr. Rodriguez did everything we
What's
would
fairness?
Expect someone to do.
You want him to get an advantage. I mean, look, if he hadn't been caught in Texas, he might have driven anywhere else, and you conceded earlier that then he could be prosecuted there. Does he get an advantage because there's a warrant outstanding for him in Wisconsin?
I believe
that's a merit. That's a fairness consideration,
Your Honor,
in his favor.
The point of my argument is that unlike every other defendant in these cases, he gave his true name. He admitted that he was not in the United States legally and that he gave the officer a Mexican identification card. At that point, law enforcement had every piece of information they needed to know then and there on the spot in Galveston,
Texas.
Actually,
they didn't, because he didn't tell them he had previously been removed.
But the NCIC record, which is what gave them notice of the warrant in Wisconsin, did tell them that he had previously been removed. They knew everything in Texas. Which makes this case different from every other case cited by both parties.
They sent him to Wisconsin because it's better to prosecute illegal immigrants there?
There's certainly no evidence
Texas
of that.
It's a better venue for the government, if anything.
Well, he certainly would have gotten a shorter sentence in Texas. I mean, that I believe, is borne out by the record on the fast-track departure, which... I notice my time is up. So.
Okay,
thank you.
Thank you very much, and thank the defenders for their efforts on behalf of clients. And the court will be in recess until 9:30.